I can't believe this is happening.
It's a disaster.
How did this happen?
Tommy Little presents...
Oh, it's an absolute flustercuck.
G'day, legends. Tommy Little here. I know that when things go well, it can be funny. But when things go absolutely pear-shaped, it can be way funnier. So this is a show about those moments. Those moments that you get to the end of and you just look back and go, well, that was an absolute cluster.
Oh, it's an absolute flustercuck.
My guest today is an Australian entertainment reporter that lives in the States. You can hear him on the CBS radio over there. You may have heard him doing entertainment reporting or being the American correspondent for Hamish and Andy. It's the one and only Brad Blanks.
Brad Blanks, you're a great man. All the way on the other side of the world. How are you? Where are you? What's going on?
I'm out in Long Island, way out east towards Montauk. Deep lockdown. 5 weeks I've been out here. My family and I, we all live in Midtown Manhattan, and we left in a hurry on a Friday afternoon, March 12th or something like that.
And would you say you love your family more or less by now?
It's come good. We're good.
It's come good. We got over the hump of wanting to really throw each other out of the house.
It's good. It's a funny one because you have moments, and there's moments where you'll have the family dinner's made a massive comeback in our life. Yeah, we always in New York, it's quite busy and we're frantic, but the family sit down dinner every single night. It's been scenarios where I haven't talked at all, just grumpy. Or no one will listen to me, and you're like, come on, why won't anyone listen to me? And then my wife, she'll run the show, and one kid will run the show the following night, but now we're all, it's nice when everyone chats and shares stories. So I'm not grumpy. Everything's good.
That's good.
Full steam ahead, waiting for the lights to get turned back on so we can get back to New York City.
Yeah, I mean, also family dinners and things like that, excuses have gone out the window to not be there. Like if someone says, no, I can't come to family dinner, you just look at them and say, why not? What else have you got on?
That's right. And right now is meant to be dinner time for me, but I pushed it back half an hour. Lots of frowns from the missus. I made her a bath. I said, this is your time to have a bath and then we'll have a family dinner in half an hour. Yes.
That's good. Well, if this goes well, feel free to make up podcasts that you've got to do night after night after night.
Yeah, I can just sip beers, get myself licking up before I sit down and meditate my way through it. But I do love my family more, I will say that.
Okay, that's good. Blanksy, you are the first person that I've had requested through a third party to do this podcast. A great producer who we know and love, Sammy Cav, he said, oh, you're doing a podcast about stuff-ups. You've got to speak to Brad Blanks. Are you proud that your name is synonymous with the f-up?
Yes. I love the f-up and I love and it's helped me in my career immensely. But you don't know that it helps your career at the time you're doing the f-up. Mm. And because a f-up involves blood, curdling from your groinal region through your butt cheeks upwards. And it's a heck of a feeling when it rises. And as you know, in the broadcasting world, they can happen a lot, even if the other party doesn't know you're f***ing up at the time too. You could just be f***ing up on your own and it rises, this feeling through your body, into your throat and into your head. And my problem is you're a lot fitter than me. I'm a sweater. So my brow will go and sweat will start dripping.
Don't worry, I get the same thing. I sweat a lot as well. And I know it's really going badly when I can feel the drop of sweat down my ass crack. Like when enough is pulled in my back, the one's just decided to go down. And it's like that drop that, as you said, the thing that precedes it is just a feeling of kind of sickness that flows up the body. Like when you get hit in the nuts. Like, a second before it's going to hurt, you're like, oh, no, this is bad. And then sure enough, just this wave comes over you and you go, oh.
I know we've both mentioned asses. So the ass has a lot to do with the f*** up because my seriousness does start there and comes up through my body. So,
me too. I can tell you I'm not nervous, but then I can feel my ass sweating if I am. It's the only part of my body being honest. All this is going, nah, I'm fine. When back here, it's going, no, you're not, mate. You are absolutely not.
But it's amazing.
Do we have, is there an ass drip moment that you would like to share with me?
Well, this is just a huge one, and I don't even think it was my fault. I'm gonna set it up for you. As you know, Craig Hutchison, Melbourne AFL identity. Yeah. He was in partnership with a good mate of mine, James Swanick, and they were in America. They had a company called Croc Media. He still has the company now, and they own radio stations and whatever.
Big company.
That's right. Yeah. And this is when they were very small. And the whole concept was they were going to bring Australian companies to America and market them and make them huge in America. And one of the companies they were looking after was this little small company out of Perth called the Aussie Gripper. And the Aussie Gripper was a like a skewer, and it had hexagonal ends on it.
Yeah.
You know, two little plates shifted on this skewer. And what you would do, you'd just put your meat on and your onions and you'd turn it into this amazing little barbecue device where you'd just flip it every 20 seconds, each little angle on the hexagon.
Right.
Right, you get like, and they were
so an even cook eight sides over, or six sides over, whatever.
That's right. And you keep and it was perfect, and they managed to get it. James Swanick managed to get it on, get a schedule on QVC. Now, to get any product on QVC, the home shopping network, the biggest home shopping network in the world, you guaranteed your business would fly. You would sell things on there because people are, you know, home in the middle of nowhere watching QVC at 11 a.m. and they're just hitting buy.
Yeah. So this could be the hexagonal flipper, could be the new Snuggie, and you could be essentially an overnight billionaire.
But that's right. And this little company in Perth was banking it all on this. And so I had the prototype, and you know, I was going to be their spokesperson on QVC. So even QVC had approved me. I had to go up there once a week for 5 weeks. When I say up there, from New York City out into the Philadelphian suburbs, I'd get the train there, then I'd get a taxi to QVC, this massive place, and I'd sit there and get trained how to be a home shopping network personality. And at this stage, I'm on radio in New York City, but I hadn't had my TV break, and this was going to be it. Everyone was excited that Brad Blanks was going to get his big head on American television, and people were telling, and I'm like, geez, QVC, it's a bit cheesy. And people would go, no, this is not cheesy. This is America at its best. You're selling and people will love you, and they have like 100,000 people watching, and you'll be on over and over. This is your big break. And I'm like, wow. Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Because also it's a lot of money involved with the buying. So if it goes well, the next person with the next product is going to go, who sells? Brad Blanks. He sells. He sells. He'll be the first. He'll be, and this will roll on and on and on. It's basically this to Oprah.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah. Like J-Lo sells on there. Joan Rivers was huge at the time, you know, the great female comedian. You know, Serena Williams is always on there still. So this is my chance. So I'd learn all about the network, how it works, and I'd be going on with, I'd be handheld because I was like the personality of that product, the Aussie Gripper. And I'd practice all weekend, and my girlfriend, now my wife, Juliet, she was very supportive. Like, she was helping me, you know, practice, and we cut up a lot of, you know, stir-fry items, and we put him on the skewer, and we're going all right. Now, the problem is the weekend before we started doing it, we had a new box of Aussie Grippers. And I'm like, they're a bit shinier. They were, you know, more chrome. They were really glitzy. I'm like, geez, the prototype was a bit more sturdier. And as I keep putting the meat in that on, the pot rivets on the side holding the hexagons would pop out. And they were sort of breaking in my hands, the Aussie Grippers. So, yeah, there'd be, you know, six per pack. So I just grab another one and keep the practicing going. You know, this is the Aussie Gripper. This is how you can do it. You put it on the grill. You turn it over. You turn it over. Everyone's going, oh, that seems to be all right. And I was just nailing the rehearsals. Anyway, gets to the big day, and I go down to Philadelphia, and they had Prime Real Estate. It was the first barbecue show of the season in April leading into the American summer. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, Prime Real Estate for a little Aussie battler company. And the Aussie Gripper's right in the middle of their one-hour block. And the segment was called – not the segment, the hour show was called The Thrill of the Grill. So, you're a great writer.
Yeah, it's way better than the hue of the barbecue.
So it was the thrill of the grill, and I was the face of this great Australian product.
You're the pill of the thrill of the grill.
I was that player. I was the pill. They should have used that. Anyway, so I get down there, and they had the head of the Australian Trade Commission there, a guy out of Chicago. The head of the Chicago Trade Commission was there, and another Australian embassy official was there. So this was a big moment for the Australian government, as it was the first time an Aussie company was going to get on. This is it. This is Australia's big break to get on QVC, right? And they run me through a rehearsal, and I have about four or five people. When you go and do a rehearsal, and you're like, people are watching it. I've been nailing the rehearsals all weekend, and they're watching me. I'm like, shit. And I finish, and the guy, the Aussie trade guy goes, geez, I thought you were a professional. And I'm like, I actually gave him a bit of lip. I said, off, mate. I'm on radio to 2 million people every morning. I think I got this covered, but I actually was f***ing up. I was. Don't get me wrong. But again, I'm still going to come back to the fact that the Aussie gripper was feeling too smooth. It was too good. It wasn't the prototype that I'd mucked around with earlier. But these guys laid on the pressure and whatever. So I've got my my handler, who's this beautiful TV presenting lady. Yeah. And she just came out and saw me and said, oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to go this, and that. She said, oh, good, I'll see you on TV. I mean, they don't give a shit. They're off. The presenters are just, pumping any product. Yeah. So she leaves. Anyway, I'm feeling confident. It's a beautiful day. I remember it was a beautiful day. We're doing it outside, which was a big deal for them. We're doing it outside. And I saw one of the agents, the QVC agents who were representing the Aussie brand, take a call. And I'm like, cool, all right. So he goes off. And this is all prepared, Tommy. We've got meats, we've got vegetables, we've got everything lined up for this amazing thing. It's going to look $1 million. And he goes off for about 10 minutes. And in my head, all I kept thinking was, this is my Seinfeld moment. This is Costanza. I can sense that I'm not getting my big break on television. Something's going on.
That feeling started to bubble up.
Started the feeling. And I'm like, come on. I've got all my radio show in New York that I was on. It really supported it. Everyone's watching. Big deal.
Have you told everybody that you're going to do, you're going to be the pill of the thrill of the grill with the Aussie gripper?
The Aussie gripper. And they loved it. But the host of the show that I was on every morning in New York, they gathered around, listeners were calling in, going, we can't wait to see Brad on TV. This is his big break. Oh, he deserves it. And it's big for Croc Media. They're a little small company. They're trying to build it. And to top it off, the Trade Commission guy goes, oh, yeah, the minister in Australia, the Minister for Trade's actually watching this online. So we're about 20 minutes out from the show coming on, and we're all standing there, and the guy comes over. The agent comes over.
The phone guy?
On the phone. It took me 10 minutes he was on the phone for, and I watched him the whole time. What's going on here? He's come over and he's gone, we're off. And I said, oh, what, are those bumpers to the end or something? He goes, nah, we've been pulled. And I said, well, inside, I laughed as my butt crack filled with sweat. You know what I mean? You know when you just give up? I'm done. How do I explain this screw up when it all looks like it's on me with people and friends and... Yeah, my wife had worked hard. She'd been practicing with you. You know, she cut four big green peppers for me to put them on viewers.
It's so hard to say, babe, I didn't really care anyway. When she goes, you practiced with me for days.
That's right. And I kind of had like going, this actually sums up my life, to get pulled on a QVC. It's not like, you're a comic, you're getting pulled from, doing your first gig on the Conan O'Brien show. No, I'm getting pulled from my first gig. So he goes, you pulled. I said, all right, what happened? And he goes, well, the skewers, they did quality assurance about half an hour ago in their North Carolina warehouse, and they randomly went in and picked a couple of boxes and pulled them out. And every time they'd play with them, the pot rivets would pop out of the little hexagon. The pot rivets would keep them on the thing. And I laugh because that's what happened to me all bloody weekend, And so as soon as they have a defect, pulled. So the thing gets pulled. I'm crushed. I'm like, that's done. I slowly get a taxi back to the train station, talk to those two agents that were banking on it, that they represent QVC. They were crushed. They said, we've never seen anything like this before, a product pulled 20 minutes beforehand. The Trade Commission, Aussie Trade Commission guys, upset, shattered. And I just ring the radio station up and I have to do a live report to the afternoon. The station manager of WPLJ at the time made me go live on air and do like a bulletin of the screw up. He said, well, it's not fair on our list.
But you're saying he made you go live like with something. It's because you've been talking about it.
I've been popping up.
Yeah.
And I was so scared the next morning of going back on the radio. You know, when you work for senior guys, legends of radio I worked for, these two guys, Scott and Todd, and I went in there and I was scared. You know, and I went in and they actually said they felt sorry for me. And that made me laugh because I'm like, you didn't have to feel sorry for me because I reckon this is the best thing that probably could have happened. You know, I could have went on there and really f***ed it up. You know, so that would have been a whole new level of arse sweat.
I mean, in hindsight, do you wish that it happened on air?
Well, now you've said, no one's ever said that to me.
Because the best stories to tell are the f***ups. And so
That's right. I
think, like, it's so great. And I was thinking the only thing that could possibly be the cherry on top is that happening to you live on air and watching as it happened, you look over and the agent on the phone just drops his phone from his face because he's...
As the Aussie gripper is malfunctioning in my hand. The worst thing about the Aussie gripper was each time I'd try to put meat on in rehearsals, I stabbed the shit out of my hand. I'm like stabbing my hand. And I'm sitting here. That's what I was worried about on television, that I was going to create a blood flow for all these ladies in Mississippi that are thinking this is going to be the hot new Aussie item.
You know, I mean, that's what a reputation for Aussies when they look on and see the Aussie gripper and it's a man, hands bloodied, with a stick holding meat, slowly rotating it over a barbecue. They go, geez, they are the toughest units in the world.
That's great. And to top it off, they left me on the email chain as their company went into the toilet. So the company within a month went bankrupt because they had invested like $100,000 worth of Aussie grippers. And the big problem was the first Aussie gripper, the prototypes that I'd been playing with were made in the Philippines and they were fantastic. And when they got they went for 10 cents cheaper to make them in China and the Chinese did a bad job on them. And it was just... Yeah, the end of the Aussie gripper.
Did you say the Chinese did a bad job on them?
Yeah, on the Aussie grippers, yes. I mean, don't turn this into a politically correct moment.
No,
it was the difference between Philippines and China. If you're going to get your pot riveting done, do it in the Philippines.
The reason that made me laugh wasn't because of the Chinese. I was like, well, there wasn't a good job done on them in the first place. It's like, how bad of it can the job be than not working?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. They didn't flare the pot river, Tommy. Flare the pot river, you know? All right? You got to remember that.
Yeah. Banksy, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, there you go. It was my TV career as a f*** up. So, thank you, Tommy.
I can't believe this is happening.
It's a disaster.
How did this happen?
Tommy Little presents...
Oh, it's an absolute flustercuck.